You're listening to Around Comics, episode 184, Emerald City Comic-Con Special, Part 3. This is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. Normally, Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. But this week, we are continuing our coverage from Seattle and the Emerald City Comic Con. And this episode of Around Comics is brought to you by InStockTrades.com, where waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And right now, InStockTrades.com is offering the Invincible Iron Man Omnibus for an amazing 37% off the cover price. Pick up the earliest adventures of everyone's favorite Ironclad Avenger for only $62.99. You can pick from any of the three variant covers, and remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. We made it back to Chicago safe and sound, but we are continuing to give you more Emerald City Comic-Con coverage. We've got some really fun interviews lined up today. You're going to hear from the likes of Greg Rucka, and Shane White, Chris Moreno, Jeffrey Brown, Mark Sable, and more. So more of the sit-down conversations that we had at an absolutely fantastic weekend in Seattle. Now, I'd like to remind everyone, if you're interested in knowing more about the Emerald City Comic-Con, not just this year, but what they have coming up next year, and they already have some guests announced, you can just go to EmeraldCityComicCon.com, and we also have threads on the forum about it. You can check it out there. Oh, and speaking of the forum, I want to remind anyone that wants to check out our comic book community, go to AroundComics.com, and we have a great forum there, and it's a great place to converse with other like-minded comic book fans. You can also contact the show through any of our email addresses, info@aroundcomics.com, or Chris, Sal, or Tom at aroundcomics.com. Well, I'll tell you what, let's get to our continuing coverage of Emerald City. We're going to be back next week with a regular episode, so it'll be our last convention episode here for a while until Chicago here in about 6 weeks. So I hope you enjoy the conversations, and we'll be back next week with more from Around Comics. Thanks, everybody. Well, we are we're back on the floor with one of our favorite writers. I say that because I'm spreading the shame as much as I can. We're here with Mr. Greg Rucka.
Spreading the shame?
Well,
the new Rucka motto.
Because there's this little rumor around that you're my favorite writer, and I kind of have a tendency to yammer on and on about you. So I'm trying to
terrify you. And
yeah. Yeah, at least there's somebody who likes the stuff, right?
Yeah. Flattering to a point.
Well, it's flattering right until the restraining order.
Well, I was over at your table yesterday, and I met your lovely wife for the first time. I said, "Hi, I'm Chris from Around Comics." She was like, "Oh, hi." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm Greg's podcast stalker." And then she laughed and said, "Oh, you, I know you."
Yeah. And she slowly reaches for the pepper spray. Yeah. Greg, let me just get a pen out of this
he's
bag.
He's not going to really poison me, is he, Greg?
Moves my daughter back. The day.
Yeah. I heard your daughter got scared by the zombie Captain America.
Did she? I didn't hear that.
I think somebody's daughter did.
I wouldn't be surprised if it
they
was.
They were scary.
I know that when she showed up, when we first showed up yesterday, she saw her first stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And she was like, and Jen was telling her, no, it's okay. If you get lost or something, you look for the guys, the assistants at the show are wearing those green henchman shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jen was like, no, if you get lost, go to a stormtrooper or one of the guys in the green shirts.
Absolutely.
And it's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
The 501st, they have become con staples.
Well, we were talking to him, and we said, you know, you guys do a lot of charitable work, which is kind of counter to what, you know, your characters are in the movie. And they said that was a very skewed perspective, that they didn't really agree with the stories of Star Wars, that was...
Well, it's propaganda by the winners.
Thought it was odd. I didn't quite understand, like, the 10-year-old kid that wants to be sees the movie and is like, I want to be a stormtrooper.
I want to be a stormtrooper when I grow up.
Voiceless, and
winners write the history.
Yes.
Well, good sir, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yep.
I'm a little toasted around the edges here. But.
Well, it's kind of your normal state whenever we see you.
Tired.
Yeah, I've been working. I've been riding around.
Okay.
I'm all right.
Jet lag. No, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's it's late on day two of a show. The show keeps getting bigger.
I was impressed yesterday.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
Really busy.
Yeah,
right, and this is one of my favorite shows, and not simply because it's, for me, it's fairly local.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I live 3 hours south, so. But, you run all day, and then you're kind of, by the end of day two, going, this is marathon training. You know, this is training for San Diego.
Five days
in San Diego. Like,
I can't imagine.
God.
That's like three conventions in one.
3 days. I like 2-day conventions. I feel like by the end of the second day,
it's done. Yeah, you can see the ending. Yeah. The problem with San Diego now is it starts Wednesday night, and it just gets crazy. It used to be that you could steel yourself for Saturday that you knew was going to be hell, and it's no longer just Saturday. I mean, Wednesday night's crazy. Thursday night's always now exceptionally busy. And then starting Friday, it's wall-to-wall people. It used to be everybody I knew in the industry, we'd all be like, okay, Sunday we'll get a chance to walk around and do our own shot. You can't. There's just no chance.
Yeah, I'm going to go once to experience it. And that's.
I like the size of a car.
San Diego is an experience. I don't think you enjoy it anymore. I think you experience
sure.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like going to Indy Race, go to Indianapolis 500 or the Kentucky Derby, just, you know, to mark it off the list.
The debauchery of the Kentucky Derby.
You don't even see it. You just are there.
It's
you don't even see the race.
But instead of, like, old-fashioned, like, Kentucky colonels, it's, like, guys in stormtrooper outfits vomiting on the street. Instead of, like,
but still
old
jewels.
Landed gentry from the side.
Stormtrooper Mardi Gras.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, they all have bourbon in common, or maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
So.
That's you.
Well, you've got obviously we love your comic work, but you've been busy on the other side of the typewriter with your novel work.
The other side of the typewriter. It's pretty unique. I had a custom.
Do you have a novel typewriter and a comics typewriter?
No, but it's gotten to the point where I'm so paranoid about my electronics that if I'm starting a new project, I start to, and Jen always knows. When I'm starting to get serious about it, because I start making noises about the laptop. I start making noises like, I don't know, I think maybe it's time to get a new laptop.
You're afraid the memory is going to go, or the hard disk?
You know, I'm one of those people who has the ability to look at a piece of consumer electronics and break it.
Yeah, you get the click.
On some of them, I can literally just be like, I don't know what I did. And all it takes is having lost, you know, say 30,000 words once.
Yeah.
To never ever want to experience that again. I back up so many times. Like, you know, I'm working on the new Kodiak, and at the end of the day's writing, it goes to like three different locations off site and another one on site.
The secret bunker.
No way. Worst thing that happens is I'll lose the day's writing.
Nice. Nuclear holocaust comes, but there is a version
there
out there that is safe.
Somewhere.
It's going to be cockroaches and ruckus scripts. They're going to be the only things left in Hollywood.
When I was younger, I was paranoid enough that I would finish a novel, and I would burn it. You know, back in those days, it was on a zip drive, and I would take the zip drive to my safe deposit box, and I'd put a copy of it in the safe deposit box.
Not a bad thing to do.
Do we need to wait until the ghostly disembodied voice finishes?
As we've already made the joke, it's the voice of God instructing you to go play HeroClix.
Do you want God tells you to win a collectible Hulk HeroClix?
You,
for your God.
We have the collectible anti-monitor in row 12.
You need Fing Fang Foom.
I have Fing Fang Foom.
Do not brag about that.
Do not tell anyone about your secret. That's the
Shame that he's a secret shame.
Well, you just finished up your run on Checkmate.
Yeah, Troutman and I just did issue 25, our last one.
Absolutely, and it was great 25 issue run. I think what I keep hearing from fans over and over is that it was kind of a hard book to get into at first because of all of the characters and keeping everybody straight. But as the series went on and the people, you know, on our forums and whatnot that you know stuck with it and really grew to appreciate it, got to know those characters, and it became a much less confusing book for them as it went on. And it's not that it was, you know, confusing is maybe a bad word. It's just it's a very layered book that has a lot going on. Did you find that from
yeah,
people that read
it? You know, the problem with the book, I don't think I'm the best guy for writing team books. And Checkmate was a team book from the start. And the other thing is I really do think that it was a book that needed time. It had to have sort of a baseline set out and then built off of. And to do that takes time. And, you know,
it's not something comic fans are willing to give too much, you know. That's the problem.
I think readers are reasonably judicious with their time. The publisher tends to be even more impatient.
Yeah,
sure.
And that was, I think, the biggest thing there. And, you know, it would have been nice to have seen a little more of a push in-house for the book. They make their decisions the way they make their decisions. So.
Sure. And I go ahead.
I was impressed that G.I. Robot made a return.
That's all Troutman. That started as a joke.
I thought the flying boots, like the Circus Brothers from back in the War That Time Forgot, were going to show up at the end and Cobra in the head.
It's Troutman. Troutman has this gift for sort of mining those that have been forgotten within the DCU.
He's got the Geoff Johns virus.
It's a little bit of the Geoff Johns plague, but then he pulls them out, and he's got a tweet. The whole G.I. Robot thing started as a joke. And I'm going, and we'll use G.I. Robot. I said, we're not going to use something called G.I. Robot.
Yeah,
that's the dumbest name in the world.
And
by the time we got to writing 24, I was like, yeah, it's going to be G.I. Robot. Yes. I love the Betty Grable picture in his bunker. You know, which is the traditional Betty Grable picture. You know, we were like, no, this is version 6.1 now.
Yeah, it's not the old G.I. Robot that would fall apart.
Yeah, there was a lot of anticipation for the reveal of the Rooks. Did that come out how you wanted it to?
Well, I mean, I figured I actually haven't looked too closely to see what the response was, because I figured that, you know, a lot of people are going to be like, and I saw somebody being like, well, you know, gosh, these weren't whatever. Why didn't they have Arsenal and so on? And my response was, did you read the issue? Because Arsenal's not going to kill anybody. Mm-hmm. And it's Checkmate, and they needed to go in there and kill a whole bunch of people. And we wanted to, you know, it was less a question about going, ooh, you know, people you never thought of, than it was a question of picking the right people for the job and making that work. And I think we did that. You know, it would have been nice to have spent more time with them. To really explain why each person was there and what they brought to the team. That didn't carry super well. Like, Cinnamon got a little shortchanged.
Mm-hmm.
You know why Faust is there. You know why Gravedigger's there. You know why Jake's there. But I think a lot of people were like, I don't get Cinnamon.
It's a lot of story you got to put in 22 pages.
I saw
pages.
A lot of people, they didn't know what G.I. Robot was. So
I'm not sure you needed to know what G.I. Robot was.
But
all you had to know was kick-ass modular robot, you know.
Well, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, I wonder if people would be like, oh, G.I. Robot. But then it was like, I'm like, who the hell?
There were like four people who were like,
me and three other 50-year-old men.
You have two options whenever you're researching a legacy character that hasn't been used in years. You can either go to Wikipedia or you can call Tom.
Okay. Yeah. So. I'll remember that.
I'll tell you about the flying
boots. Let me get your number.
Tell me everything you know.
Well, you also have another exciting project that we certainly want to talk to you about. You're teaming up with your old buddy Ed Brubaker again.
Yeah, Ed and I are doing a... I should say Ed and I. Ed asked me to come in and co-write with him for four issues. So we're doing a four-issue arc on Daredevil. I think it starts with 107, which I believe is next month. So, and it's drawn by Michael. So it's, you know, how could I say no?
Well, that's the old Gotham Central team.
That's exactly what it is. So.
Yeah,
now, you guys are this close to the thing I, you know, predicted a couple years back, Invader's book, Greg. You and
Mr. Thomas over here.
You know, it's that close. Come on, guys. four-part miniseries.
If you ever do that, if you ever do that, I will be second in rank as your podcast stalker.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Oh boy. Yeah.
So. All right.
Vader's action. In,
you might have
you know,
just
cursed
it.
Yeah. That may not be a healthy thing.
No, that's where I need another stalker.
No.
Destroy all 10 Invader scripts.
I don't have the persistence or patience.
To-do list. Call Marvel. Tell them no.
But is it fun getting back with Ed? Was there any sort of catch up time?
No.
Or was it, no.
I honestly, it's like falling off a bike. And if anything, he and Michael have become even more of a married couple. even more of a
why don't you ever dress up nice?
Yeah. it is kind of like the comic book equivalent of why do you leave the seat up all the time? But. No, it's fun, you know, and I love working with those guys on Central, and it's fun to be working with them again.
Speaking of Central, hardcovers.
Yeah, I was as surprised as you were.
Yeah.
They're doing what? Okay.
I was going to have to make my own and send them off to get bound.
And now DC's saving you the time and effort and charging you probably just as much.
I'll buy it. You getting royalties?
People should. I hope so.
All right, I'll buy it.
All right. Well, buy two then.
He will.
Yeah, Queen and Country single issues, trades, hardcovers, and the omnibuses are the definitives. A note for people that do have Gotham Central in trade, uh-huh. There were two issues that were not included in the trades.
Yeah, they're now going to include like all of the issues that were sort of removed from trades because mm-hmm. they were standalones or they weren't considered parts of the larger arcs. One of my favorite issues, which is the issue that Ed wrote, Stacy's sort of daydream issue.
Or crush on.
Yeah, her Batman like crush. Issue, yeah. I really love that issue, and I'm really happy it's going to be in a trade now.
Sure. It's been a while since you worked at Marvel. I think the last thing you did was Wolverine.
Yeah, I think that was the last thing I did.
So it's kind of a good to go across the street and play in a different sandbox for you?
It's always fun to get a breath of fresh air.
Sure.
We're working with Warren Simons over there, and he's a dynamite editor. He's really, really good and really, really easy to work with. So,
outstanding. Now, you know, got to talk about my favorite series, and I know that that there's a lot of stuff that you're thinking about, you know, doing and on the path, but any updates on Queen and Country Volume 2?
Nothing that's going to make you particularly happy.
No. Oh, man.
I still think we're looking at 2010.
Okay.
I want to do the Chase Declassified before then, but right now the priority at Oni is to get Stumptown off the ground, mm-hmm. and I have an idea for something else over there that I am researching and hoping to start scripting in July, but I'm not... there's something else through Oni. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a real, real long-term project. I have no idea when it's going to hit. So, and I don't. I've been really bad about announcing things long before they're
ready.
Sure. So I'm trying to reverse that. I don't want to announce things until they're actually going to be coming out. You know?
Yeah, I mean that's one of the things about the industry is that things can change very quickly, and you can have.
They do.
Yeah, you have a lot of ones. Which we can certainly take this out. I haven't heard anything on Batwoman. Is Batwoman still full steam ahead?
I'm not allowed to talk about it.
All right.
There will be, I think, some announcements about that, mm-hmm. about Kate and sort of plans with the character around San Diego. Batwoman appears in Final Crisis Revelation, which I'm doing with Philip Tan. She's in issue 2. She'll be in issue 3.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
The art on it is unbelievably good. I cannot say enough good things about Philip. He's a fabulous collaborator. His work ethic is incredible. And then to top it all off, the art is just really mind-blowingly good. It's so good. I was talking to Didio and then Ian Sadler earlier today, and you know, our feeling is this is going to be the sleeper book. Everybody's going to go, oh, Crisis in Three Worlds, oh, Grant, oh, Jeff. And then they're going to go, what's this? People are going to open it up. They're going to be like, oh, my God.
Nice. I'm just interested to see a story about how you've described the story about the Spectre. Because ever since it's been the whole Crispus Allen thing,
yeah.
A lot of the stories, they can't seem to figure out what to do with how it's supposed to work between the two characters.
One, I think the Spectre's hard. You know, people keep trying to, quote-unquote, fix him. You know, he's no longer the spirit of vengeance. He's now a spirit of justice and so on and so forth. This is old-school Spectre. He's the spirit of vengeance. He's God's spirit of vengeance. He's also God's bouncer, which is a separate role. And, you know, as far as sort of what the thematic story is, it's about this guy, Chris, who hates God, but is pretty much compelled to do what God tells him to do. And then this is told in a backdrop of, you know, of Final Crisis, which if you've seen it in the ads, evil wins. You know, and that's not a joke. Evil does win. And it puts Spectre in an interesting place. We're also introducing a companion concept.
Mm-hmm.
There is a spirit of mercy. If there is a spirit of vengeance, there should be a spirit of mercy. And so you're going to see that. And then, of course, you know, the opportunity, you know, I was, the project came out of Grant and talking to Dan, I guess, and saying, you know, I want to do this Spectre thing, and I want to do it from the ground. I want to see it from the ground. I want to use Question. You know, I want Greg to do something with Question coming out of Crime Bible. So the initial thought had been to do it from sort of as a Question thing, and then it became very clearly, this is the Spectre's book. But you can't have Chris as Spectre and not put him opposite, you know, Renee as Question.
Oh, absolutely.
There's just too much good stuff to be gotten out of that. So I'm really excited about the project. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Spectre's a different kind of character for you.
Oh, very much. The power level on him is so astronomically high.
He does he can do pretty much whatever it
is
takes
necessary
to do what his job is to do. Yeah, that's
there are very, very few things that trump the Spectre.
Is that hard to write?
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be, but I've got certain loopholes built in because of the nature of the story. So.
Awesome.
I look forward to that. I always liked the Spectre in concept more than I like reading Spectre
stories.
Yeah, the
execution. Stories.
Yeah, I always thought it was a character.
Well, one of the goals here is also to say, this is Christmas Allen, the Spectre.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to sort of reconcile that and to show people what's the deal? Who is this guy? Why is it working that way? Like I said, this is a guy who hates God because the first thing that God wanted him to do once he became the Spectre was to kill his son.
Yeah.
You know, so that kind of sets you off on a bad foot, I think. It's one thing to be dead and go, okay, great, I'll take the gig. It's another thing to be like, I'll take the gig. You want me to do what?
Excuse me, yeah.
I can't, you know, as a dad, I can't imagine anything worse.
Good to see that they're... you know, ever since 52, DC's really, I thought, done a great job of a lot of the tie-in stuff to the main books have been as good, if not better, than the main books. And it's good to see that that's going to continue on with this kind of stuff. And especially getting guys like you back involved. I thought, you know, 52 was something that I really enjoyed a lot. And then Countdown was, I thought, kind of got lost, you know, lost its way a little bit. It didn't have the real clear direction that 52 seemed to have. And I'm hoping that Final Crisis kind of comes back.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, I think that one of the things you're going to see with Final is that it's very tightly controlled in the sense of it is, you know, as far as quote unquote events go, this one's got a pretty tight rein on it. You're not going to see a whole lot of ancillary stuff. There's Final Crisis, and there are maybe seven or eight other things that tie in.
Right.
And of those seven or eight, I think half of them are single issues. They're just 30-page single issues, and then you have, like, two minis, okay, and that's it.
Are we going to see a lot of, like, Batman going, look, there's a red sky?
No. No, you're not going to see any of that. Yeah. I mean, you're really
that's
not
the
going to.
The classic old crossover movie.
Yeah.
That is a red
that's
sky.
That's because he's going to be dead.
That's right.
Talking about 52, and we've mentioned this in the last month or so, we look back at that series and now just kind of realizing what a special accomplishment that was. And I know that you not jokingly said that you would never do that ever again. But, I mean...
We want the band back together.
I mean, do you guys still stay in touch?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
are you like,
I saw Grant. Grant was in L.A., like 3 months ago, and I came down, and he and Jeff and I had lunch. Mark, we kept trying to link up with Mark, and Mark's schedule is now crazy because of all the boom stuff he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get together, but yeah, I mean, I talked to Jeff if not once a week, twice a week, and sometimes more. And not necessarily about comics. You know, sometimes it's just like, so I'm thinking of buying a new car.
What do you
think of your car? You know, and you know, Grant is just he is so. You know, he's a remarkable person across the board, just as a creator, as a talent. You know, he's just this amazing guy. I still, you know, those three guys are some of my dearest friends. And it's the natural byproduct of having been in the trenches for as long as we've been.
You guys, yeah, it really is kind of like a war buddy thing. It's like, remember that time whenever Booster was...
Orson walks with a limp.
You know, the analogy, and the only analogy I can think of, and it's a bad one, but the war analogy is the best analogy. Because it's not as if you go, hey, you remember the great time we had under fire in Fallujah? Nobody's going to go, yeah, those were great days. But, you know, you come out of that, and you're tight. And that's not to equate comics or shot at.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, in no way.
But we were... For what we do professionally, that's the highest stress environment I think any of us have ever been in under a consistent basis. And you can't come out of that and be like, oh, yeah, that was fine. And we were all charred after that. Like I said, I was talking to Dan just yesterday. He said, you guys are finally back. It's like you guys finally returned to the land of the living. And it's true. This is really... It took a long time to get back and be like, wow, I enjoy writing again. I'm happy again.
I like writing.
It was hard. It took a lot because it was a lot of work.
Are you able to read for pleasure again?
What's that?
reading anything these days?
Not really. I'm not reading a lot of fiction. I've been doing a lot of research for the new novel.
Mm-hmm.
And the new novel is about a lot of really distasteful stuff. So none of that reading is for pleasure.
I understand. Totally.
No, it's really, and I don't want to, again, I don't want to really give that stuff away. It's about some really awful shit. And, I'm reading, I sort of started research by reading a book by a guy named E. Benjamin Skinner called A Crime So Monstrous. And anybody who knows the book will know. It's a hard book to read. I think it's a violently important book. I mean, I think people need to read this book. But, and I don't say that a lot about a lot. But you read it and it stays with you, and you can't really look at a lot of things the same way. I think around the world, around in your town. It's very affecting, and it's the primary engine behind the new novel. So.
Have you thought of doing children's books or something happier?
Actually, yeah. I have.
I'm writing a sitcom.
No, this is a children's book. Why?
It's for children. Yeah.
Are you saying my books aren't for children? What are you talking about?
They're illustrated.
You offend me. I'm leaving now.
No one. You never see anyone actually get shot. Double G.I. Joe.
Have you read my stuff?
it's almost all.
No. Any word on the Whiteout movie? What's
September? That's what I'm told. September. They have a cut that I believe is pretty much close to the final. Everybody I've talked to involved really happy with it right now.
Great.
I haven't seen the new cut, so I cannot speak to it personally. But I am told September, so I expect that they'll start gearing publicity up for San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for like a mid-August release, whenever we're in Chicago and it's like 105.
See, that was the gag, actually, was that they were going to try to release it in the middle of the hottest period of the year. But I think that they also looked at the other things that are coming out
this
summer.
There's a couple other movies coming out this year?
Yeah, one or two, and they kind of went, you know, maybe let's wait a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of... Iron Man, seen it yet?
I have not. I want to see it this week. I was going to try to go on Wednesday and ended up having to work.
It's just good superhero fun. Man.
I have heard nothing but good things about that film.
It's one of those, don't take it too seriously. It's just a good superhero movie.
I would like that.
Absolutely.
And really? I think we need our light alongside our dark night. So
you're not going to find some darkness in it, are you?
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure I will.
Inside a suit of armor, he's protecting, he's building a wall.
He's trapped.
He's trapped. Yeah. He's trapped
by his own past. Unable to ever escape it.
It's not uplifting.
Constantly burdened by it.
Vacation,
man. I haven't even seen it. How's that?
Good stuff. Well, Greg, it is always a pleasure.
It is great talking to you guys.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have a good rest of the show.
Absolutely. Hopefully we'll see you in the Windy City. And
Let's hope.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And be able to...
let's hope and wish.
Let's hope. Let's hope. Not if I see you first, Chris.
All right, we're back at the day two of the Emerald City Con, and we're joined by Mr. Shane White.
Hi, guys.
The artist on Overman. And
just concluded.
North Country.
North Country. And various covers and pinups. And
I just finished the story with the Tori Amos comic book tattoo anthology.
Oh, really?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, my wife, Jessica Staley, ended up... pitching in and helping out with writing it.
Getting tattooed?
We're not going to talk about that. That was the first step. Actually, she tattooed the whole story on her back, and I had to...
What?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
No, keep going with
that. Yeah, just keep it going. So you're at the Image booth this weekend promoting
yeah,
Overman?
Yeah, kind enough to let me...
hawk your goods.
Yeah, hawk my goods.
Where's the bell, by the way?
Oh, it's in my... I'm sorry.
The bell?
I needed it earlier today. You had it.
Well, I took it.
We have our plug bell.
Plug bell.
Somebody plugs something, we ring the bell.
Oh, you turn into a morning zoo crew.
Yes, yes. We have sound effects, props.
Sound effects,
96.9, the zoo crew.
Check on traffic.
In the helicopter.
Traffic here at Emerald City Con is doing pretty well.
You were stuck over there with Chris Burnham
yesterday. For a while. Yeah.
How awful was that?
It was pretty bad.
Yeah,
the guy, you know, he talks himself up a storm. Like, and I give him credit because he sold out of all of his Nixon's pals.
Yeah, yes, he did. Thanks to us.
He's not got other people looking. That's not fair. Take that bell back. No, I mean, the guy, you know, here's the thing. We were inundated with a line of fans that were not ours.
Kirkman? You had the Kirkman or the Ryan Ottley?
You
Which
saw
one?
It was the Kirkman.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had the Kirkman train rolling around the track of the Image tables, and you know, randomly.
When you just got to start telling people you're Robert Kirkman. They won't know. Half of them won't even know it.
It's funny because at the end of the day, this one guy, I felt bad because the guy was not all there upstairs, and he's like, can anyone tell me where Robert Kirkman is? And Kirkman's sitting, you know, next to me. And we've done this before. He's like, hey man, I don't know where he went. I think he's an asshole. You know, and I was just like, yeah, I don't know where he is. You know, and then you know, Robert, being the good guy that he is, he always fesses up.
Right.
So the guy went into this weird story about a wolf fang sword thing, and I don't know. He. Robert, for some reason, is able to just be patient and give the people what they need, and then they move on. Luckily, they move on.
He doesn't get frustrated with the craziness.
How's the con gone for you as far as...
It's not bad.
Not bad.
I mean, you know, I think I haven't sold as much product like the Overman. You guys were racing for that bell.
Recently finished?
The five or six issues.
Five issues.
Yeah, 5-issue miniseries from Image Comics.
Yeah.
Available in your local comic shop now.
It's going to twist your brain.
Yeah.
It's going to come out in trade? Is it announced, scheduled?
After 3 months of asking, can we do a trade of this? They were like, yeah, we'll definitely do a trade. The when and the how and what's going to be in it, it's hard to say.
Not to be.
But I think overall, I mean, each issue is so dense to wait another month. It was just going to be a matter of you know, people falling off because they were like, I'm confused, you know.
It was, I mean, anyway, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
It was not a simple story to, you know, to delve into, and hard. It was a bit hard to read month to month like that. It was more something made for trade. I mean, really,
right.
I think we'll read a lot better in trade. And
it's easier to sit and read it in one sitting. And
yeah.
Well, you know, I think by the time you're done, you're pretty shell-shocked. I mean, I got my final issue, and I sat down, read them all, and it was just like, damn, what the hell is this? I didn't even know what I did. You know? I was like, did I draw this?
I don't remember doing this? That. Was that in a fever dream?
Yeah, I don't remember doing that. No, I did. It felt like a fever dream. And I finally woke up and I was like, oh my God, I get my humanity back.
So. I don't have to draw a giant half man robot destroyer things.
And weird, perverse, sexual corporate vice presidents.
This is your home show.
Yeah, it is, actually. So this is the only show I'm doing this year. I working on that story for 2.5 years, 3 years actually of collaborating with people, and then I'm like, you know, I missed a couple summers with the wife, so we're going to go do stuff. You know, like,
you're going to do things with loved ones?
Yeah, I know.
That's not comic books.
That's you know, it's funny, because when I first started in this industry, I remember... many conversations with editors saying, do you have a girlfriend? Do you live at home? You can forget your parents. You can forget a love life. This is comics.
Like, you're not allowed to have a life.
Yeah, exactly.
You got relationships? Yeah, I'm sorry. This isn't going to work out. Yeah, you're going to have to...
You either got
to
love comics or you got to get out.
It's one or the other.
Did you just turn and go, have you looked at me? Of course, I have multiple girlfriends.
Oh, yeah, right.
Come on.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, God.
Sorry, though. I had to bring that joke up. Come on, Shane.
Go to hell.
All right.
But no, it felt like the Marines. I was signing up for the Marines, but you know, little did I realize.
It's not just a job. Yeah. It's an adventure.
It's an adventure. I don't lose any limbs.
It's an army of one.
Right.
It's more of an army sort of
Yeah.
By yourself.
So anything on the horizon? Anything you got coming up, planned next? Or
Well, I finished up a backup story for Clay Moore.
Yeah,
for Hawaiian Dick.
That's right. You did a... Was that cover? Was that a spread cover you did? Or you had that, like, two-page kind of...
That thing. That's going to actually be the back cover.
The back cover?
The story that he wrote. I came up with this idea that Abe Vigoda would be a great hitman. And I said, Clay, you know, I had this vision. And so he heard it, and he's like, I'll see what I come up with. And he sent me this script, and he writes real minimalistic scripts, which
really?
Is great for somebody who really likes to do, you know, their own storytelling, directing, and all that. So he sent it, and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'll fit it in while I'm doing the Overman, just to take a break. And then I got onto this, like, deadline crunch thing, and I'm like, oh crap, I'm not gonna be able to get to this for a while. But it was fine because the monthly Hawaiian Dick was, you know, gonna roll out until later. So I just finished that up, and now I'm halfway through roughing out a graphic novel, and got two other books series in pre-production mode.
Nice.
One's written, and the other one's halfway written.
And that is more image stuff, or
we'll see.
Not sure
you know,
yet?
it's
gonna get it done.
Know,
look for.
Image is, you know, a good place to, you know, park your car at and have them, you know, take care of it. So I'm kind of looking at the graphic novel might be through another publisher, but it's hard to say. You know, we'll have to see what happens with those guys. But overall, it's nice to not have a deadline. You know, because I got a 40-hour a week job, or more, as a cinematic director at Sony Online Entertainment.
Oh.
Did I?
Have you been doing that for a while now? Or?
Well, I was freelancing last summer.
Okay, that's what I thought. But now you're doing that full time.
Then they were like, "We need a cinematic director. You want to do this job?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know,
do you have
guys?
A wife?
Yeah.
Well, you can forget about it. This is Sony.
Are you working in comics?
Well, that's the great thing because you know, games. Working in games early on, you gave up your life. I mean, I used to sleep at work, 6 days a week.
Wow.
And go home on Sundays to do laundry.
Wow.
Jeez. It was silly. I mean, that's when I was working at Take-Two back in the day.
Jeez.
But, that was just silly stuff. But
young and you don't know, you know.
Yeah, you're willing to give it up
for
the man, and then you realize, oh, you don't get that back.
Yeah.
Or, here's a lovely bonus of $2,000. It's like,
I'm going to get you lunch today. I'm going to get you lunch today, Shane. You've been working hard this last year.
Yeah, what is this? This is like gruel. I don't want this.
Here's your forage.
What are you working on at Sony, then?
So there's this game. It's called The Agency. It's a massive multiplayer online game. And it's
kids
like
love that.
It's like the world of James Bond, Jason Bourne, and
all the other spy themes wrapped up into one and like turned to 11.
And is that going to be a computer platform or like PlayStation, Xbox?
Yes.
All of them? All everything, everything across the board?
I think so.
Whatever you
so
have,
it's really
it'll be coming to you.
It's definitely for the PlayStation.
So as a cinematic director, what does that entail for a game like that for you?
Well, it's interesting. I get to come up with the style and look of the cinematics, much like a director would, right. You know. Work with a, you know, like a cinematographer basically is responsible for the look and feel of the film, mm-hmm. You know, the textural quality, the light sure. quality, and the director obviously directs the actors and so on. In here, I kind of set the style and the mood for most of the cinematics, mm-hmm. And then I'll do storyboards based on the game design or story, you know, wherever they're going to interject a cinematic.
So it's sort of like just setting the tone for the whole thing,
yep.
to allow the designers then to follow that and almost like a
that part goes hand in hand because they'll write a design, they're designing the game and
right.
there's a story and I'm really focused on story. That was the thing about taking this job, is just like, you know, if you're gonna have me, I want a job that, you know, is all about story,
mm-hmm.
and conveying visuals, and this marries the two beautifully. I get to work with a lead animator, and he's like, the lead animator and the technical cinematic director, we all kind of work together to make the cinematics. It's a multidiscipline thing in games,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like film, where a director works with the actors, you know, sets up the, you know, kind of gets the shot in mind. And, you know, lays it out, and then works with other people to do their specific jobs. But here, it's a little more of a team effort.
Right.
But it kind of starts with the designers and goes to me, and then spell it out for the animators, and then we all kind of work as a team to really bring out the best in the shots.
Cool. Well, I do have a PS3 now, so anytime you know, send me a preview copy or, you know, something to test. If you need some beta testers,
yeah.
I'm more than happy to jump in on.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
I mean, the video game industry, it's amazing. I mean, like, it was the big game that just came out a couple weeks
ago.
Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah.
Like, that's making as much as, like, a blockbuster film.
More than a blockbuster.
$350 million in the first week or something.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, that's just amazing.
Yeah, and it's funny because, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of film companies want that game division.
Right.
And Sony was part of the Sony film, and it was difficult because I think expectations were different.
Yeah.
And so we ended up having to split and, you know, go to SCEA or whatever the other, the game division
yeah,
Sony
it's SCA, yeah, I think it's SCEA or something.
Yeah.
$350 million.
That's insane for a video game.
Yeah. They're just very different disciplines, but they're disciplines that are different on a it's hard to
parallel
describe.
Kind of.
They're parallel in their development in some ways, where, you know, when you're dealing with story and content,
well, they've progressed so much to be so much more like film.
Right.
You know, especially with the online game, you know, the first person shooters and the multiplayer online games, when you have these very complex stories and actors and voiceovers and scenes. I mean, it's very much like, you know, producing a film in a lot of ways, but
yeah.
But also, you know, it has
you
its
have
own
to
unique
put the game part in.
Yeah, there's the whole game part of too.
That is really the crucial bit. I mean, I think a lot of companies, you know, they forget that part. It's like, if you know, in the option box, there is not a fun, you know, option to
filter.
Check.
Yeah. Make sure there's actually a game involved in the game.
Yeah.
Turn the fun up on that one.
Looks pretty.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do.
No
right.
content. You know, and you see that in film, though, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, great looking film, no
nothing
story.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
So if you can get it all, you know, all three, story, fun, and...
sex.
In sex and good looking
and like
sex.
Shooting hookers, that's always important in an online
Theft
game.
I almost got killed by a kid this morning who hijacked a car, all because of Grand Theft Auto.
The
streets here are crazy.
It's so
people
dangerous.
Hitting each other with bats. And like,
did you see that? Yeah.
No, let's not give Seattle a bad. I've never.
What do you think of Seattle?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I really, really, in a couple of days, have fallen in love with the city.
One observation.
Yeah.
The street people here.
Yeah.
Really crazy. Like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like.
But I think it's because there's a mission like right around the corner.
Well,
I think that may.
Yesterday, when I walked to go get, went to go get some beer, and I was walking down the street. This guy, walking the other direction, throws this bottle of water like against the side of a building, probably about a foot away from me, and it's just like. Bitch ass hoe. Just like, I thought he threw it at me at first. Oh, it was so close.
See, like even the homeless out here drink bottled water.
Yeah.
If we're gonna do it, let's you know, let's
it's a very hip city.
Well, they care. They care about the other. They want to flush with the clean stuff and then poison themselves.
You live in your hybrid.
But yeah, I really, really. I mean, Seattle's a very cool place, and I definitely want to come back.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. How about you, Tom? What do you think?
I've been here before, but I like it. Yeah. It's nice. We went to the baseball game. Nice weather.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful park. And,
the hills. It's a little hard to get used to it when you're from a very flat land.
I need a Segway, I think, to get around. I thought they just issued Segways on every corner.
Oh, yeah?
In this town.
Paragliding. I thought you would
something.
Just get.
I need something.
Jumping.
But it's also been a fun con, too. You know, it's like a reasonably sized... There's stuff to do in Seattle.
Yeah,
You get to Seattle.
That's other good. It's, middle of downtown.
Yeah.
You walk out of the convention center, and there's places to eat, places to drink right around the corner. So that makes it...
You catch a cab, go someplace else.
Yeah.
Easy to get around. And it's not so huge that it's, impossible.
You can walk to...
You can actually meet people where you want to go.
Yeah.
Very cool. Seattle's great. And you're right outside of Seattle, right?
I'm 6 minutes up the road, It's just on the other side of the Lake Union. So it's easy to get down here. That's what I like about this con. Out of all, doing conventions are really hard. And I can't imagine having more product than I do. Guys like Rick Remender.
Yeah. Remender. 95 books.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's like you need a team of,
Handlers.
Just to carry your boxes of product.
Totally. And I'm carrying what I do. It's just like I need have my workout gear on just because I'm sweating so much, and I get to the booth and then I get to sit in my own man soup all day.
I'm watching people waiting in line for Robert Kirkman.
And then guys who are just standing there sweating back, looking at me.
Well, we got the experience of watching people waiting in line for the Flyers.
Oh,
yeah. There's a big,
dude,
I want my freebies. Free Flyers. I couldn't believe it yesterday, man. The line is out the door for free. I'm like,
you know what it is, though? It's like at
that's
every
trash.
Convention,
you're going to throw
that. You always hear people like, what's this the line for? And they get into the line.
Yeah
they don't
even
know.
Without
even something's important here.
I know. That's why I think
this line.
That's what the Kirkman line was all
who's
about.
Who's this?
Oh,
dude, we looked out.
High fives all around, butt slapping. Yeah.
I heard a guy was walking. There's a weird part where Ethan Van Sciver's line was kind of running into JMS's line.
And they did there's some music.
No, but a guy came over and was like, which line? Oh, let's just get in line for who. He didn't even know which one it was.
Matter.
He was just like, let's just stand here and we can go to whoever's line.
And with us, I don't know. We have some real prime real estate here over in the corner next to the women's bathroom.
Oh,
and,
my God. Yeah.
More than anything else, we've been asked to directions to the bathroom, directions to the panels.
Make announcements for lost children.
Yeah, make announcements. People have asked us, oh, microphones? Can I make an announcement?
They won't find them for a week.
Where's the costume contest?
Oh, wow.
All sorts of good stuff like that. So that's been our experience.
You're
going
to have to step it up, man. Get more involved,
Tom's thinking we should just make a sign that says, we don't know shit.
Don't ask us.
Yeah, don't ask us.
We're not part of the show. We're observers.
It's what we do. But all right, man. Well, thank you for coming by. Yeah. It's good to see you again.
Hawk some of your stuff.
It's nice not to
What books are you going to be hawking out here?
The Overman.
And I gotta still get one of those. Actually, can I pay you for one of those prints and can you mail it to me because I have no way to take it home?
What print?
The big covers that you did.
Oh, I just put them on the freebie table.
No, you did not.
I did.
Dude, those are awesome.
You should go over there.
I gotta
get
one.
Go get in line.
I gotta get in line. All right, I gotta go. I gotta go get in line.
Stop it.
All right, Shane. Thanks, man. It was good seeing you again, and we'll
nice
talk again
guys.
Next con or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Go check out the Overman.
All right.
All right, now we are joined by illustrator extraordinaire and podcast superstar,
man of the world, yeah.
Man of the world,
podcast veteran,
veteran bad movie podcast. Expert,
yeah. Scrappy,
Chris
Scrappy
Moreno. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, what's up?
Just enjoying the con. It's Sunday, the getaway day.
It's pretty awesome.
It's a little slower today. We were trying to figure out. We thought maybe because it's Mother's Day, guys just couldn't get rides from their mom to the show.
They gotta spend the day with their mom. That is probably it. They're all gonna be going after brunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Mom, like, mom, we're gonna have mom. Our pancakes and then I'll take you to the show. But right now it's my day. Yeah.
I can't drive you to the convention center yet.
That's right.
How was the show yesterday for you?
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is my first time here, but it's a cool show. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It reminded me a lot of kind of shows like Heroes in Baltimore where you're busy all day, but it's such like a laid-back atmosphere.
Right.
And everybody's really cool that it doesn't feel hectic.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It seemed like everybody was pretty busy, but yeah, at the same time, it's much more of a fan... It's like the creators aren't in, you know, it's not like big promotion mode and, you know, announcements and panels all the time and everything. It's more of a fan show.
It's a show. Comic
yeah,
show.
It's
for people that come here like comics, which is encouraging.
Yeah, it's nice to see. A lot of young people, a lot of kids, you know.
I'm just waiting.
Tom's just waiting to use the
this
bell.
This is the bell we ring when people plug things, so I was just waiting.
Oh, are you going to give me... Is that going to activate, and then I will start plugging?
No, you plug, you and plug. That activates the bell.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anytime. So what are you working on?
So what are you doing? No, you should have kept that secret, so I started talking. I was like, oh, well, I'm...
We're a morning zoo crew now, Chris.
You need your little honk honk. You know.
That's why Chris is going to come back dressed as a clown for the second half.
You need like car horn sound effects and like explosions.
I got some coconut shells for the horse. Yeah, we're working on it all.
So what are you selling at the convention?
Sketches and.
I heard you sold a very underpriced Big Lebowski sketch it last night.
Now you're going to get me in trouble with the guy who commissioned it. You're going to be like, I feel really bad now. Well, no, I Scotty thinks I'm underpriced, but, you know.
That's because he jacks up his
price. Yeah, Scotty charges like $100 to draw, like, you know, Captain America's eyeball.
He charges
by the body part. That's unfair.
You want two arms or one?
Right.
You know, one arm's cheaper.
Yeah, I'll draw a Spider-Man with an arm.
I have $25 to get Spider-Man's left foot.
Yeah.
I think Scotty thinks everybody is not charging enough.
Well, I
But he's also a real big fan of your work, so
that's true.
You know, that's part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The rates I have are kind of based off of previous experience.
Right.
So, and then... Yeah. Yeah, it's like I'm not just...
When you started, you were charging $500.
Yeah, exactly.
A single one.
That's the thing. I didn't start low and move up. I actually went way higher than
$1,500, head sketches only.
I was like, how much you got on?
The Chris Moreno negotiating technique.
Your kids don't need to go to school right away.
You extort the fans.
Yeah. Look, tell you what. You put a down payment on a sketch, and then they go to community college.
And we're going
to
take $15 a week from your check.
Exactly. Can I see your wallet real quick? All right, well, this is what the sketch costs. Here you go. Here's your
just
change.
Coincidence. It's perfect. It works out well for both of us.
So what are you working on right now? Anything in the pipelines?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a miniseries for IDW that's going to be coming out.
Sweet.
That's about all I can kind of say about it right now.
Oh, nice. So, look at this.
No, everything is secret. Everything's secret now.
You guys and your secrets. You guys.
I know.
Hey, you know, I was going to ask you if you happened to see just around, actually not very far from your table, down one of the artist alley ways, there's a book called Sidekicked. I didn't know if you noticed that or not. Sidekicked. I was like, wait a minute, what the hell is that?
No, we're familiar. Actually, there's Sidekicked, and then there was another one called Sidekicking.
Sidekicking, nice.
That just changed its name to Sidekicking Hero.
There's one called Sidekicks with a Z at the end.
Right, it's just all misspelled. It's Sidekyx.
It makes no sense.
Sidekick.
That's probably how kids text messages or whatever, you know.
I don't know. I we're the first, so whatever.
And the best.
All those guys can eat our dust.
are we going to see any more Sidekicks?
We're hoping. We might be able to make some announcements soon, but
But yeah, I mean, we're, I talk to Paul pretty often, and Sidekick is usually the second thing we talk about in every phone conversation, if not the first. So we want to do more of that. The Popgun thing I'm still doing.
Oh, yeah. The volume 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
When? Wednesday? That was awesome, by the way. I mean, that whole...
Over the summer. Something like that.
Yeah, I picked it up a couple weeks ago, finally.
One of the best values ever. I mean, that is a tome of a book.
Kick-ass stories.
Yeah, there's great art.
I think the adjective kick-ass would describe the stories in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I believe Mark Miller has kick-ass already taken.
It's trademarked. You can't.
Well, I didn't call the story. Well, no. Yeah, no. Yeah. We're gonna start splitting hairs now. All right. Let's do it.
It has to be like kicked ass.
Yeah, I think it's ass kick.
Yeah. I think that's how we'd have to go about it. So you got volume 2.
I'm going to be doing Sans Pants stories.
Throughout.
So, I know one of the big gripes people have about anthologies sometimes is that there's not continuing content. Yeah.
Right,
I mean?
Right.
Platypus Ninja will solve that problem.
Oh, hell yes.
He'll do his part. I talked to him about it. I said I'd like to do, like, another, if you guys are cool with it. And they're like, we love Sans Pants. So I'm like, all right, I love them too. So
cool.
I'll keep doing them. Yeah.
You do some of the best funny stuff in comics. I mean, just even, just pretty much everything you do, not everything you do, but a lot of what you do has that sort of same theme to it. They're just very funny, entertaining things that, I want to say all ages to some degree, but not necessarily. I mean, you know,
yeah,
I was a sidekick.
You've got the mentality of a five-year-old. Yeah. You are all ages.
You are an adult in arrested development.
From it goes from age 8 to people who are mentally age 8.
But you're a funny guy too. I mean, is that just natural for you to just what you
well,
want to work on?
Yeah, that's my natural state. Yeah. I mean, that's why, like, with Sidekick, I think me and Paul are kind of like in our mode.
That's you. That's the default
that's,
mode.
Yeah, that's the most us. I mean, I know that's the most us, or the most me.
Yeah.
Right.
I've done something. I mean, Super Frat too. Like, if I can do comedy stuff, that's usually where I'm at. You know, I don't mind doing like action.
Sure. Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a good time doing it. I mean, Dracula was fun. And, some of the new stuff I'm working on is more kind of action horror.
Sal's still going to laugh at it.
Yeah, I'm going to laugh. It doesn't, like,
well, that's the thing. It's still going to be funny for people that know me, I guess. Like, oh, that Moreno and awesome dude with the gun hanging out. Like, that's hilarious.
He's so funny.
Yeah.
You're living in L.A. now?
Yeah.
Big L.A., Hollywood, going Hollywood on us. How's that going for you?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
I was in a good spot because I didn't come out there to quote-unquote make it.
Right.
You know, I didn't,
you were looking for your big break.
Yeah, I didn't have like a suitcase and some dreams.
End up in a porn movie.
A buddy of mine were talking about it though. We said the smog, like it's not smog that's hanging over LA. It's like dreams that have
broken.
Been shattered and dissipated.
The dust of broken dreams.
That's right. It's like magic dream dust. You know, when someone's dream dies, it just kind of floats up into the.
Gets stuck in the valley.
Yeah.
Had you spent much time there before you moved there at all?
Well, I mean, I would go. I mean, I knew people from shows out there, like Tony Rodriguez, lives near me, but I got to see a lot of L.A. visiting him.
Okay.
I'd come up like maybe a couple days early before San Diego and stay at his place.
So it wasn't like a big, culture shock or big illusions shattered when you got out there.
Well, that's the thing about doing conventions. You're going to so many different places.
Right.
You get like a sense that like where you live isn't the only place.
What?
Around.
I have the vision of you like getting off the bus with like a straw cap on.
A hobo
totally,
sack.
Like, looking around like I landed on Mars.
Piece of wheat in his teeth.
See like a
well, golly gee.
High heels and like a short
Can you
like,
tell me where the movie stars are? Yeah. No, that's totally what I did. But I got that all out of my system early. So by the time I actually moved to LA, that was all gone.
Just sitting in like a fountain shop, looking for fountain shop.
What do
you call it?
Pipe when I'm in this fancy.
Is this where I become famous?
Is this where I get discovered?
Where do I go to be famous? Can you tell me? No, it's all right. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's just I know more people out there.
Yeah.
I like the weather.
Can't beat it. It's warm.
I only have to see snow in pictures and on TV.
Not bad.
I don't have to dig my car out.
Beautiful women, beautiful people in general. Kind of?
I don't look at that kind of stuff.
Oh.
You know, I have a girlfriend.
Sure. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Other women don't exist.
Yeah. Everyone else I see, it's just an obstacle between me and my girlfriend.
Yeah. It's like the Matrix. They all look like agent zeros and ones and stuff. Yeah. I don't see gender anymore.
Gender blind.
Don't try and get me into trouble.
No, I wasn't. I didn't.
I listen to this, but don't.
Yeah,
try
I was
going to
say.
Anyway.
I don't think
then
she.
Still, my girlfriend would know if I said, like, oh, yeah.
Just radar. Spider sense.
That's right.
Tom said something I should be angry about. Right now it's going on.
She just shows up and she's mad.
What are you mad about? I'm just. I had a dream last night, and we got into a fight, and I'm still angry.
Oh,
I hate
God,
stuff
yeah.
like that.
That's bullshit. That yeah. is bull.
I had a dream. You date some other girl. Why'd
she
do that?
She had tentacle arms.
Yeah.
She wasn't even cute.
I had a dream you were sleeping with Angelina Jolie. Yeah, honey, I don't think you got to worry about that one. Not really high percentage chance that's going to happen.
Yeah, not really. But you can be mad at me if you want. Well, there's a game that I'm always stuck playing. And I'm not even talking relationship stuff, but like in general, it's called Surprise, You're an Asshole. Like you wake up in the morning and you're feeling good, right? Yeah. It's a regular day, and then like something happens, and it's just like, surprise, you're an asshole.
You're a bad person now.
Yeah, you're a really awful person. This could be anything. Yeah.
All right, Chris. Well, thank you so much for coming by and spending some time with us. You know, we always like having you on the show. And
that bell is just—it's
stupid.
I'm throw that bell into the bathroom.
It's already getting it's already wearing out its welcome amongst us.
I still think you should do it as a surprise, though. Don't back.
Don't
the
tell
bell.
People.
Don't tell anyone.
Just so they get really cute. So the whole time they're talking to us, they're just looking like white.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if they do improv, they'll think they have to change their answer.
I hand them a big, like a big inflatable wheel. Like,
yeah.
All right, here we go.
Like, what are you working on? Well, I'm doing a 4-issue miniseries. I mean, a 12-issue maxi series. Ritual graphic novel. That's how you do it.
That is how you do it. And all right, we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. We'll
Sounds
see
good.
You. Are you going to plan any plans to be on the Crankcast anytime soon again? Or?
Probably. Well, I talked to Robbie Rodriguez. I think we're going to do our own podcast.
Oh, that's right. You were last time you were on there.
We're talking about
West
doing
Coast
the
Crankcast.
High Crankcast. Like the bizarre. We got to figure out exactly what that is.
You like have a point
on that news.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like they don't talk about
investigative journalism.
At all. I think ours is just going to be all about work.
Just all comic talk.
You
comic
need to find like an anti-Tabor. A guy who has never seen a movie.
Never
ever.
Seen a movie. Get like an Amish dude
and ask him what he just read him like the pitches to movies and see what his thought is.
That sounds completely fantastic, right? That sounds unrealistic. I would not watch a movie like that.
I've never seen any. Movie
I don't own the TV, movie. So.
That's right.
I don't.
Sorry, I was distracted. There was a woman jumping just behind you, like enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't know who.
A fan?
I hope so. Or that she was going to kill you. I don't. She
might have. Surprise, you're an asshole.
Yeah, surprise, you're an asshole. That's where it comes. That's how it happens.
All right, Chris. Well, have a good show. It was great seeing you again.
Good.
Talking with you.
A pleasure as always.
Absolutely.
Sidekick.
Do it one more time.
Joined now by one of our fellow Chicagoans. We only see you on different coasts now, man.
Yes, only on the coasts. It's never on the third coast. But
third coast.
That's like Michigan. It's Chicago, third coast.
Gotcha. He doesn't like to see people in the flyover states.
Jeffrey Brown of Top Shelf fame in your various books. But I wanted to talk to you. You're doing stuff outside of Top Shelf as well now. You're a big bookmaker.
I mean, I'm still doing stuff with Top Shelf. I've got some books coming out from them later this year and on after that. But my newest book just came out from... It's published by Touchstone, which is an imprint of Simon & Schuster called Little Things. And it's autobiographical stories, less relationship-focused than my other autobiographical work.
Man, how exciting was it to... And I know that you have a great relationship with the wonderful people at Top Shelf, but how exciting was it to get, like, a book deal?
I mean, it's pretty exciting.
You're wearing a tuxedo
right
now.
I was hoping you would mention that because it might make me seem snooty. I am wearing a tux.
But it's emerald green.
The sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
So you're still like the common non-book
like
deal
I
man.
Still like, it's like kind of like keeping it real, I guess. There's advantages to having like a bigger publisher who's well established in the book market, and you know they kind of bring different things to the table, and they've been great to work with. Like one of the things that I've always liked about Top Shelf is like they've been really open about letting me have like creative freedom and you know being supportive with what I want to do, and so far working with Simon Schuster has been similar. But maybe just like a little more pressure about, you know, to like have things go well.
Yeah. Do you change your creative process? Maybe even subconsciously, it's like, okay, well, this is kind of a little different sandbox to play
in. Yeah. With little things, there was most of that book is stories that I've been working on the past couple years. So while I was working on other projects, so it's kind of the book was pretty much done by the time the deal was in place, but. Now with the second book I'm working on for them, it's been a little harder for me to balance everything out and like a lot of second guessing myself and rethinking things, both subconsciously and because I.
All right, folks. If you are
I do want to.
That is the voice of God, by the way.
Yes.
God wants you to play the Planet Hulk WeroClix event. This is my favorite part of doing the interviews is when the voice of God is announcing the HeroClix event that's currently going on.
This is God. I want you to meet Julie Benz.
Yes.
Well, whenever I saw you in New York, because I only see you on the coast now and not in the Flatlands, I noticed that there was an Incredible ChangeBots hardcover, which was cool. How's ChangeBots doing?
ChangeBots is doing great. People really like it. I'm glad that the hardcore Transformers fans have embraced it. I was, you know, kind of nervous. Like, I mean, I'm not a hardcore Transformers fan, but I grew up with Transformers. I love the old cartoons and the old toys, and that's really what that book was about. It was like, you know, paying tribute to that kind of love. And I'm happy. Like it's both with Transformers fans and like people who aren't familiar, like, and also it's a book that like a lot of parents are reading with their kids. Like I hear from people who have like six-year-olds, and their 6-year old really likes the book, and
that's good.
Got some drawings in the mail. It's really great. And also on the ChangeBots front, Devils Do, with their new Devils Do Pop line of toys and figures, are doing vinyl figures for ChangeBots, starting with Balls, the most popular character.
Balls,
that must be exciting to have action figures.
Yeah,
made
like Balls.
Balls was the golf cart.
He's
right?
The golf cart. Yes. And then also the second toy will be Microwave, who's a microwave.
Oh, of course.
And yeah, his little door opens up, and Soupy and Popper can fit inside. They're vinyl figures, so they don't like transform per se, but like you can kind of take their arms and legs off and move things around. So like Balls actually becomes a golf cart.
Nice. I look forward to collecting all of them.
So there's two planned, and
mm-hmm. We'll see how those do. And
okay.
Those are probably the easiest characters to design as toys. So, we'll see where we go from there, because then it might be a little more complicated to like.
I want the Jeffrey Brown vinyl figure from like Clumsy.
Maybe someday.
Limited edition.
Yeah.
Movable parts. Look at him wave.
Yes. Someday. Like if you look in the Big Head book, there's like a fake merchandise page, and there's a kind of like a plush Big Head that's kind of like this cute little plush big head. I'd like to do that someday. That would be
very cool. Fun. Well, you're a Michiganian. Is that what they call them?
If you're Michiganian from, or Michigander?
Michiganian.
Yeah.
I know. Have you gotten involved in your own comic shop?
That yeah, was one of the two shops I shopped at in Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. The one shop I shopped at was Collector's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Been around for years, and then the other shop was Apparitions Comics and Books. And if for people who don't know, Dave Percola, the owner, was shot in a robbery, and he was in critical but stable condition, doesn't have health insurance, and iFanboy has kind of taken charge to help raise money to pay his bills. And, yeah, obviously, like, in, you know, shopping, Dave is also someone who is one of those stores that doesn't just carry mainstream stuff and like has like all the toys and has magic cards, but they also carried a lot of all the alternative comics, like books like that Top Shelf publishes, and was probably one of the stores that was responsible for me getting back into comics, like, and finding like the range of comics out there.
One of the good comic shop owners that doesn't just cater to a small segment.
Takes chances on books that, you know, might not sell as well, and, you know, and
expose people to other stuff out there.
Yeah.
Of it,
you know. And really supporting comics as a whole. So yeah, I've did a one page comic for Boom Studios for their Warhammer 40,000 story, and I'm auctioning that off. So,
awesome.
Details will come later, I guess, when iFanboy gets everything set up.
So go to iFanboy.com. They've got information
keep you
on that.
Up to date. I don't know when that'll happen, but and even aside from that, if you go to iFanboy, you can donate money through mm-hmm. PayPal, and Dave doesn't have health insurance, and like I'm someone who I can't get my own health insurance because of pre-existing conditions, and so we live in a country where we don't have national health care, and it's tough. So,
especially for creators,
and especially for like something like comic books, where there's like there's not a lot of money. It's about the love of something, and
you got it. Well, the last thing I wanted to talk with you about, and you've been teasing us with this for a while, is the MMA book.
MMA book. I finished it. It's done. It's Brett Warnock from mm-hmm. Top Shelf, who does a lot of the production side of things, has the disc with the files mm-hmm. and is getting it ready. Should be out, I think it's scheduled for December. So.
And the title's going to be?
Title is Deadly Awesome.
It's of course 90, it is.
96 pages, 80-page fight scene.
Wow.
It's Haruki Rabasaku. Mm-hmm. versus Eldar Garprob, for people are kind of surprised to hear, they're surprised, like, when they hear, like, I'm a native Michigander, as you mentioned, big Red Wings fan. They're up 2-0 against
Boo.
Dallas right now.
Yes.
I'm a Hawks fan.
You just got, like, deadly serious there.
Every time I see the Hawks play the Red Wings, like, at United Center, they lose. So, the Wings lose.
It was the only team that the Blackhawks could play this year.
But people are also surprised to find I'm a big MMA fan. I've been watching UFC since the beginning. A friend of mine brought home, like, his friend had done the first pay-per-view and, like, videotaped it. So it was, like, kind of like, you know how, like, they used to have, like, to prevent you from videotaping it, it would screw up the TV.
Yeah, the scramble.
So it was, like, kind of like half scrambled.
You got it on the black market.
But it's like, you know, it's like, whoa, what is this stuff? And, you know, that was the back in the day when it was, like, all, like, very sensational, bloody, and now it's much
really
more
brutal
about,
in the beginning.
About techniques and, so yeah, my book isn't just like, you know, like goofy, funny, like look at the guys punching each other. There's like I know my stuff. I used reference to get like submission holds, like
awesome.
And try to make it like as accurate as possible without, like.
And there's like a running internal dialogue during the fight
it's
scene.
It's kind of a strange book. It's kind of a tribute to my favorite fighter, Sakuraba, who was a Japanese fighter, and he's kind of known for being like really like crazy. Like, he would just try crazy stuff in the middle of a fight, like, you know, do cartwheels and like just like stuff like
high flying.
He was an ex-professional wrestler in Japan, and but like really entertaining guy to watch fight. And so I had the idea, like, when I read this book, I would just like try to have fun and like make this book like just fun and like just see what happens. And
I can't wait.
Any more Wolverine? I'm gonna see. Whatever happened with that?
Wolverine is this. He's in limbo. You know, maybe someday I'll do a Wolverine story for Marvel proper. The Wolverine story I did do, I guess, you know, it's relegated to fan fiction lands. But someday.
Someday.
You know, it's my dream since I was a child to draw X-Men for Marvel, so, you know, maybe someday I'll, like,
be able to
work
get
something
there.
Out. I can draw my 32-page one-shot or something, you know?
Very cool.
I'd like
to see it, absolutely.
Right now, I've got so much going on, it's like a, you know.
You're a rock star at these places, man. I heard someone actually walked up to Robert Kirkman and thought he was you.
No, they walked up to me and thought I was Robert Kirkman, so he's the rock star.
A very popular folk singer.
Is that Robert Kirkman? And then someone else is like, no, it's Jeffrey Brown. And they're like, oh, okay. And then, like, they left. You know, they're like, who? Who's that?
And you're shaking your fist. I got your Kirkman right here, pal. So that's
no,
all.
No, it's, you know, no, I got nothing against Robert Kirkman.
We're going to start a rumor.
He's all right.
We're just going to start.
Kirkman-Brown feud.
Oh, absolutely. MMA match. Kirkman-Brown.
Does he know MMA?
I don't think so.
Take him
then. He knows zombie movies, so he bites.
Oh, he's a biter.
He's a biter. Well, hey, you're one of our Chicago guys. Can we look forward to you sitting in with us later this year, hopefully?
Yeah, for people who don't know, I have a 1.5-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's such a cutie, too.
He's adorable. He's a biter too, but he doesn't. You know, he's one, so he doesn't know any better. Robert Kirkman shouldn't.
He should know better.
Yeah. He's like, so it's you know, it's hard to get, like, it's funny, like, I used to stay up drawing till like, you know, 1 a.m. and now it's like my schedule is like go to bed at 10, wake up at 6. It's like things have changed. But yeah, I you know, we'll set something up.
Maybe our people will call your people.
Wizard World. We'll
be
stop
there.
In and maybe do a quick sit down there too.
Absolutely. You know, you are always welcome with us, and you personally, through your work, opened my eyes up to a lot of the work that's out there. I was, you know, like a lot of folks, you know, Marvel, DC guy, and you know, expanded into Image, but yours was one of the first real autobiographical and more slice of life books that I read and said, wow, you know what, there's some really neat things that you can do in this medium, and I think you've done that for a lot of other people as well. So, I mean, your work is well received, and it's well worth
that.
It. Absolutely. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much. All right. Go cut more of those big book deals, man.
let's worry about finishing, like, the next book first, and then I'll worry about
it. All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Have a good show. And we're back, and we are joined by Adriana Ferguson, one of the exhibitors here at the show. She's here with a couple of her sketchbooks that she has done. The first one is a collection of sketches, Academic Probation, and then the second one is We Are Legion, which is all Legion-inspired
drawings. You like
drawings
the Legion?
Yes.
Yeah, I can tell a little bit.
And she fans herself off. She's like, oh, Brainiac.
Oh, Brainiac 5. Mm. Oh.
So how many cons do you usually go to with this kind of, or have you been doing this for a while now? Or
not that many. Like, I've only been out of college for a couple of years now. So, and I moved up to Seattle very recently for work, actually. I had to plug the company I work for, which is an online, not an online gaming site, but I do character design.
Okay.
For a company called Flowplay, and there's like a little website for teenagers to play casual games and make a little avatar. And so I work doing that, and not really comic related stuff, although I used to like edit and write for stuff, but not anymore.
You know, we keep getting requests from people to do a Legion 101 about just the complete history of the Legion.
I would love that.
Well, no, I would like you to do that.
Yeah, could you do it for us?
It's very daunting.
Everybody wants it, and we're just like,
You know why? Because the people that ask for that already know it all. They just want you to say it back to them so they can correct you.
Well, listening to Tom's podcast, I'm always thinking, God, I wish he was doing this for Legion of Superheroes, because there's like a bunch of old issues.
That's
like,
never going to happen.
I only know the, like...
So many.
Because I only know the...
I don't own enough of them. Because
yeah,
I
really
own
no
all the
does.
Issues that I have. I mean, it would just be too hard for me. I guess I could get the showcases, but mm-hmm. those stories are almost too easy.
Those are so hilarious. Like, there's one in the recent showcase where the girls get taken over by this thing called Femnaz. Yeah, and which is very close to Feminazi. it's like amazingly close, actually.
Yes.
And
really close.
They get taken over and they kill all the boys. And then once they are free of the boys' influence, they have a dance party. I'm not kidding.
Sure, yeah.
You liked this story a lot, didn't you?
That's the greatest story I've ever heard, actually. I wish they would do an interpretation of that in modern
day. Legion spent a lot of time teaching each other like life lessons through like horrible practical jokes or like not fighting crime, like pretending to be dead or pretending to kill another one or disguising themselves. That's like all the teaching Superboy lessons constantly about
being a hero.
Yeah, and then when Superboy grew up to be Superman, he spent all his time teaching Lois
Jimmy
Lane,
Olsen,
like,
yeah.
don't stop asking so many questions. This is what you get for wondering things. Yeah, I have a lion's head. Big deal.
Or like the thing they did.
Big deal.
The JLA did a Black Lightning when they're thinking about letting him join. Let's test him first.
Yeah, let's dress up like villains and then test. Instead of just ask, you know, see if he's all right with it, let's dress up elaborately and almost kill him. Like, all right, you can join.
You passed,
dude.
Good
You're
work,
in.
Good work.
Instead of just asking him, we're going to beat him within an inch of his life and say, you're in. He called him Jive Turkeys.
Jive?
Yeah. It was a different time.
Well, you're a Seattle native, but do you go to a lot of other comic book conventions as well?
I used to go to mostly like anime conventions because I'm a girl. And
it just makes sense.
I mean, yeah.
We
know about that.
You don't have to apologize.
But, you know, comic book conventions, like, I think used to be like less girl-friendly, but I think they've gotten a lot more girl-friendly.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot more girls at comic book conventions. I noticed this one especially.
There's at least five or six women
there. Yeah, I saw two or three, and
those were trannies.
Oh, there's Fat Mama. And
I saw Fat Mama.
Media guest.
The Taco Del Mar downstairs.
This is a media guest.
No, this show is actually, I've said it already on the show, but it's amazingly sort of young and hip and.
Seattle's full of hipsters.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's really
hills.
Everyone's sort of looking the same, wearing like glasses and have a messenger bat.
But for some reason, it's not annoyingly hipsters like in Chicago. Some of the hipsters in Chicago, I want to punch.
Yeah.
Here, I'm not.
He has punched.
I haven't really been bothered by them.
Yeah, it's a cool vibe to the city. It's a cool vibe to the show. It's real people that dress well.
How many times have you done this specific?
This is the first time because I moved to Seattle like last year.
Oh, okay.
I was living in Ohio before.
Ooh.
Doing a lot of anime cons for my job.
Did you ever do the Mid-Ohio Con?
No, I did Ohio Con, which is like an anime convention again.
Again with the anime.
San Diego Con was
damn
like,
that anime taking all our women.
Taking the women.
It's weird because in anime circles, my stuff's too comic booky. Mm-hmm. And here, it's like, they're like, oh, yeah, this is Pokemon.
This
yeah.
is anime. Yeah.
You, yeah.
And
then
the anime, they're like, oh, it's too much like comic book.
Well, is there anywhere online that if people want to check out your work that they can?
Yes, AdriannaFerguson.com, which is not a great name because my name is actually hard to spell.
It will be A-D-R-I-A-N-A, Ferguson, F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N.
I like the Legion
dot com.
Stuff.
There you go.
All I like right. the Legion stuff quite a bit.
Yeah, it's the Legion cool stuff is very cool.
I went to the DC Nation panel, and it seemed like they had a lot of writers like Bill Willingham and Gail Simone and Greg Rucka. And, of course, Jeff Johns, if he wasn't there. But a lot of writers that I think write women very well. And so I have a lot of hope for next year. People like DC being very, like, not very, but more, yeah, girl-friendly.
Yeah,
stuff.
They're absolutely female-friendly. Yeah.
Some Batwoman.
Well, Greg couldn't talk about it. So we'll see. We'll see.
I bet you'll see that one.
Absolutely. Well, Adriana, it's a pleasure to meet you, and thanks for dropping this stuff off. Really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Hope some people, I'm sure some people will go check out your site. So.
But thank you guys
cool
for...
like, I love sketchbooks.
I was like really bad with keeping up with the comic books, especially in college, and you guys were really great help at helping me catch up and understand things. And Tom's is good, too, for helping me understand the JLA. Yeah.
Tom has all of the knowledge. We just make jokes in between his pontificating.
I have none of the tenacity. All the knowledge, none of the tenacity.
So that's why it works.
Up to me,
extremely happy when you guys started your podcast again. I was like, oh, thank God, I have something to listen to at work. And then laugh embarrassingly and people look at me. It's great.
We try and keep people from sweating the wrist at work. Absolutely. All right. But thanks a lot. The cavalcade of comic stardom continues. We're joined now by Mr. Mark Sable. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks
yeah?
for having me.
All right, this is we get to haze you here, which means that we get to beat you with sticks and make you lose weight, right?
Turnabout is fair play. Yeah, I'm gonna do that to fictional women in comics. So gotta come around.
How's haze going?
It's going really well. It's what I like about it is it's getting a very strong reaction either way, which is what I wanted. It's not so. I mean, mostly it's interesting. I've had a lot of women who've loved it and who've come up to me. It's kind of sad in a certain way, which is like they've been like, wow, they're like, oh, I can't believe a guy wrote it, which I take as a compliment. That's not the sad part. The sad is they're like, wow, this really reflects, wow, you know, like this is just like what I went through in college and they're younger, so they're like, it's been more recent for them. And I'm like, it's sad that things kind of really haven't changed. I mean, I'm happy on the one hand. I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad that it's resonating with people, and I'm glad that it's showing, you know, that I'm telling the truth, but or a version of the truth. But I would rather them not.
Not have had to have gone through
fictional.
That.
Yeah, I would rather it be fictional. But it was interesting because this is the first time today. Like somebody came up. I mean, online I've got some of this, but not today. Yesterday, here somebody came up to me and was like, "I like your book, but like, I'm a fraternity member, and I was just like really offended by your portrayal of fraternities." And you didn't show the good side of fraternities, and I'm like, well, it's, you know, I mean, but it's not
the news.
It's not my job. Yeah, yeah, it's sort of, I mean, I wasn't, if you're looking for a fair and balanced picture of the
Greek
of system, I'm not the person to come for, to come to for that. But I liked it, and that's actually one of the cool things about this convention is this is my first time here, and the fans seem really engaged in a way.
Absolutely.
Like that. I mean, they're real comic fans, but they want to actually talk, like, and I like that. Like, to me, You know, I mean, it's nice to sell books, but it's really cool to actually like have somebody talk, you know, talk about your work or talk about other people's work, which is fun too.
Yeah, I've bumped into you at three conventions now this year. You're in WonderCon in San Francisco, and I saw you real briefly in New York, which is a madhouse. But to show you how dedicated this guy is, in San Francisco, gets into a car wreck. Could hardly walk. They bring him in on a stretcher, and he's still working the table.
Good Lord.
leaning over.
Just shoot me over some cortisone and morphine. I'll be fine.
It wasn't that dramatic, but yeah, you were hurting, man.
I was actually, I had like bruises and contusions, and the embarrassing part of that story is that my car was totaled by a Prius. Dan has been making fun of me for.
You drive a smart car or something?
No, here in my defense, it was San Francisco, the guy ran a red light, it was coming downhill in the rain. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that where it's going to...
They got hills in San Francisco.
They got hills, so it's, you know... And I'm actually pretty. I feel lucky like that I wasn't hurt really badly. My pastor was still. So this is an improvement so far. This convention has been no.
Yeah, you're much better health here. So.
Yeah. So
did it affect your sales of your book? Were you able to?
I was in too much shell shock to really even get the sympathy.
Although
WonderCon's got to get a big thumbs up for me.
That was a good show.
That was a good show.
Absolutely. How's your partner in crime, Robbie Rodriguez, doing? Who did the art on Haze?
He's in crime. He's doing well. I'm hoping actually to do another book with him. I've been talking with him about. I'm trying to think of anything exciting. I believe he's hard at work on probably Tech Jansen or something.
Tech Jansen and maintenance, which I love the maintenance cameo in Hazed. I thought that. Now, did he sneak that one past you?
Yes, but that's fine. Yeah, there's a lot of visual, like some of the best gags, like there's visual gags in there are just stuff that I didn't write that he just threw in, and I was totally fine with him doing it because that was really my only real direction to him was sort of like, you can't push things too far, so don't worry about it. And so that's why we have an abortion side gag in the bin that I didn't write. And I was like, okay.
I guess, you know, I told you that.
I did
no farther, Ravi. Well, Fearless, is Fearless wrapped up?
Fearless is wrapped up,
okay,
yeah.
Great. Very fun story. It's trade?
It's not in trade yet. Hopefully we'll get a trade, so if people are still out there and can buy the single issues and... Maybe push sales a little bit. That might help. But
now, what else do you have in the cooker right now?
Right now, the main stuff I'm doing is I have a bunch of DC stuff coming out that I can actually finally talk about. I think I was
you were secretive last time.
Under embargo. so you guys get the scoop. This is I have. I think I probably did talk about it a little bit. I have a Cyborg miniseries coming out.
Oh yeah,
That's, I believe, May 21st. It comes out. I want to say so. It's probably in the next couple of weeks. It's six issues, I'm really excited about that. It's basically the idea. Sort of came was like the, you know, okay, we live in a, you know, we live like, you know, we live in a world now where, you know, people are, we're at war, and like so many people are coming home like maimed and you know, all right, here's
prosthetics.
Cyborg
that
has,
sure.
Has prosthetics. He's, you know, and so the idea is somebody, basically a villain that I can't reveal, take, you know, gets a hold of his prosthetics and starts giving them to military type people and who are wounded veterans. And the idea is that the catch is sort of they get the, you know, you can have these prosthetics that are weaponized, but you only get them as long as you kill for us.
As you're doing our work, sure.
Yeah, and so, you know, if you leave, literally, we're gonna take these limbs from you, and so it presents him with an interesting dilemma, you know, just sort of moral dilemma. And then on top of it, I mean, there's plenty of fighting. There's like
big explosions,
big comic booky
explosions. Yeah,
explosions.
And we got like not one but two teams of Teen Titans guest starring, the younger Titans and the older Titans, who I guess are no longer teens.
That's just the straight up
just
Titans.
Titans.
Just the Titans.
Who's doing art on the series?
The art, we have two artists actually. The first artist, Ken Lashley, is doing the art on the first two issues. Mm-hmm. Did a great job. And then fortunately, we had a switch artist, which is never a fun thing, but Carlo Magno is doing it, and he's done, not only do I think he does really great work, but it's the same inker, it's Jonathan Glapion is doing it, and their styles, it's not a big stylistic shift. I mean, don't get me wrong, they have different styles, but it feels very organic, and so it's the first two issues are Ken, and then the last four are Carlo, and it's actually, story-wise, the way it works, I think it's a good, it comes at a good breaking point in it, too, so it's not... it shouldn't feel like an abrupt switch.
That's great. Cyborg has always been such a great supporting character, and I think it's awesome to get a mini out there that's going to put him at the forefront. And I think DC, gosh, I can't talk. I think that DC is doing a great job of that right now by having these kind of compact stories for these fans that love these characters.
And I think. Well, I say two things. One, I mean, for fans who love the characters, if you're an old school Cyborg fan, from like I pick up on stuff from like the threads from like his origin, that people like characters that you haven't seen in years, maybe even thought dead, will appear, and it's great for that. But I agree. I mean, I think it's, to me, I was shocked that there hadn't been a Cyborg series in. What it's almost
really,
this character's
yeah.
almost been 30 years. I think it's 20, at least 25 years that he's been around, and so I was shocked that nobody that he'd never had a miniseries, let alone. I mean, I thought he would have had a solo series for a while. I mean, I've said, like, to me, if the Titans are DC's X-Men, like Cyborg is their Wolverine, you know, in terms of his coolness, and so.
The hate mail you're going to get from Wolverine fans for that is going to be amazing. No, I'm joking. Yeah, well, you do such a great mix of creator-owned stuff and non-traditional comics. You know, like Hazed is a great example of that, but still do superhero comics. Is it fun for you to switch back and forth from such very polar opposite type stories?
Yeah, and it's... and part of it is, and it's something that, like... I mean, I was always very worried about... getting sort of typecast as one or the other, mm-hmm. like, because I do enjoy writing both, and I'm lucky. I mean, and I think that's the great thing about Image is sort of they were, I mean, just first of all, for them to even do a book like Hazed, I still feel very thankful about. Again, doing a book about, like, a dark comedy about sororities and eating disorders. I mean, who's going to publish something like that and take a chance? And so. I'm appreciative about that, but at the same time, sorry to plug my next thing, but the DC thing that I haven't announced is that I can announce here for the first time is doing Two-Face Year One, and that's like maybe the favorite thing that I've ever worked on. Like, I've never had so much fun writing something as this, and I can't explain even why it is. Because I would think that I'd enjoy the creator-owned stuff more, and it's not that I don't. It's just, but it's been a lot of. It's just been so much fun. Like. I felt so at home with the characters in it, and it's just like it's just a joy to write. And so,
well, the year one stories allow you to go back and tell like your great version of that character whenever they're fresh, they're new, and it's almost like a retro way of putting your stamp on that character, which is awesome.
I'm trying to convince DC that there should be like a year one, like kind of. Like a Batman Year One, like ongoing type series.
Yes,
like
sir, yeah.
That's out of it's in continuity, but it's not like so that they don't have to worry about crossing over and mm-hmm. stuff. And because it is such a fun era, and it's been. I mean, obviously Frank Miller did it.
That's the staple.
I mean, that's the high center. But I mean, I think having
they've
I did
been
a lot of research.
Good. I mean, most all of the Year Ones that have come out have been really entertaining and well done. I would love to see that kind of thing, an ongoing, or at least I mean they're doing pretty consistently, but an ongoing would be really cool to see.
I love them. Back to Titans, which you're working with Cyborg, the Teen Titans Year One. It's one of my favorite Titan stories. I'm loving that. I love seeing those characters when they're fresh and just getting on their way. It just opens up so much that you can do.
It's sort of, I think it's like DC's way of doing Ultimates in a way. Like, it's got that, it's got the, you get to you have your certain parameters, but there's so much room for like reinvention, and they're great, I think, for new readers. And I mean, I feel lucky with the Two Face is going to come out, you know, with the, in tandem with the Dark Knight, with the Dark Knight series. So I feel like I'm hopefully like that'll be a way to get like people who come from that movie can walk into it and be like, okay, like I can read this, and I don't have to have read, you know, 50 years of Batman.
Absolutely, it makes it, it's not continuity, you know, laden, and you can jump right into it. That's awesome.
But that said, I throw, if you're, again, if you're a fan of Batman and like Long Halloween and stuff, there's so many like little Easter eggs and stuff. And my favorite part of the book actually has been, and hopefully Brubaker and Rucker won't kill me for this, but I basically sort of have the first appearance of the cast of Gotham Central. Not everybody from it, but Bullock and right now it's Maggie Sawyer, and then Detective Eric Cohen, who is the Orthodox Jewish guy who's like never got any screen time in Gotham Central. But the idea being of it's like in order to deal with like police corruption, they like Gordon sort of forms his like untouchables unit, and they will eventually become the cast of it. But they're
I think Ed and Greg would get off on that.
I hope so. I think
if you all of a sudden you're in a hallway and you see one coming from one direction and one coming from the other,
they're big guys. They're not small men.
The first time I met Ed was this weekend, and I've hung out with him a little, but I was too nervous to even. It sounds so weird to bring up. I just been like, hey, you know those characters, like you know, you help create and like you know, define and. Like, yeah, I'm talking about
them.
you can always just be like, you know, they look. Superboy can always punch in a, you know, punch a wall and
make it disappear. Make it disappear.
But
kiss my ass, Brubaker. I'm writing them.
But they're fun. You know, like I just Gotham Central was, you know, is one of my favorite books of all time, and so. To me, that's what's been fun about this book. I think is it's a superhero book, but it's I'm very much writing it as a almost as a straight crime book. I mean, at least the first it's a two issue prestige format thing. So each 48 page issues, and the first one is sort of it's the origin of Harvey Dent, hopefully shown in a new way, and also you know sort of the rise of these untouchables and all that. The second issue is Harvey is like becomes Two-Face at the end of the first. Not to give anything away, but by Two-Face you want. he's still on the ballot as DA, and so he runs as Two-Face. And the idea is that his argument, and I actually somewhat believe this, is sort of that you're more likely to get justice from a flip of the coin than from a corrupt system in Gotham. And I've created sort of this really evil, like, district attorney character who started out as, like, you know, basically, like, a consigliere for the mob. Like, he's a mob lawyer. And then he sort of becomes the DA that Harvey's running against. And it really, you know, so it's... And I get to have some fun. I mean, it's not a political book, like, in terms of, like, Republican, Democrat or anything, but I get to have some fun. Like, I did actually researched a lot of, like, election fraud stuff. Mm-hmm. And
did you come to Chicago?
But, there's no dead people voting. But Kennedy wins.
Vote off.
I don't want to spoil it.
Vote early.
just in terms of, yeah, there was a great book about just... some of the stuff that was done in the New Hampshire primary in 2004, I think.
Okay.
That was the funnier stuff to me was I was like, I don't know, what's more ridiculous, like the crazy things I have, like, you know, I'm trying to think of something without giving too much away, but what do I think is more crazy, like the actual real life stuff or the stuff that I have Harvey Dent doing, and like, you know, like in, from a real thing, like I have like them get basically convicted, like, you know, the evil DA basically gets there's a real opponent on the ballot too, and but he has like who's a judge, and like he gets a convict that she let off to make the phone calls for him and say, oh, you know, have you thought about voting for Judge so and so, and he's like, and they'll be like, who am I, oh, like, well, I'm a pimp and a drug dealer, and you know, she let me off, and you're not gonna vote, I'm sorry, and like,
oh wow.
But, and then I have so then I you know to one up that I like and then I have like you know Harvey gets the or sorry, Two-Face gets like the, you know, some of the freaks to make the phone calls, and they're like, people are, some of them are like happy to hear from him. They're like, wow, it's like the Riddler, wow, like it's a celebrity, celebrity's calling. And
then it's like American Idol.
And then the Joker will be like, oh, you know, Justice is blind, and they're like, or it will be when I like cut your kid's eyes out, and like, and then Harvey just like beats him with the phone. He's like, what, too much?
did I step over the line, Harv?
So that sounds great.
Yeah, it's been fun.
You sound excited about this.
I'm really thrilled about it. Like, and I never thought I'd be as excited about a work for hire thing, but I really put the same, you know, I do put the same amount of effort into it, and I do, you know, I do research for it. I mean, in this case, I wound up doing real world research too, but you know, I did certainly obviously research all the, you know, back issues and that kind of stuff too.
That's outstanding.
Is there an artist assigned to it already?
Yes, it's actually a phenomenal team because it's Jesus Saez. If I always gonna mispronounce his name, but he's the main artist. Jimmy Palmiotti is inking him. There are flashback sequences, which I guess if it's year one, so it's like year -10, that are done. They're kind of, I'm really interested to see how they come out. They're supposed to be like period pieces by Jeremy Hahn.
Jer.
We love Jeremy.
Where is he?
He was supposed to be sharing a table with me, actually, and I don't know. Although somebody came, one of the funnier stories is that somebody came up and insisted that he was here and that they'd given him money at the convention and that he owed him a sketch. And it wasn't like I gave him money at, you know, in San Diego last year. It was like, no, I just paid him
an hour ago.
And I was like,
He wasn't here.
And I hope somebody wasn't impersonating him and didn't, like, yeah, sure, I'm Jeremy Hahn, thanks, I'll take your $100. So, but
it was Kirkman.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then the covers are being done by Mark Chiarella. It was like, came out of retirement to do this. And if anybody sees it in previews, because it's available for pre-order now, they're not the covers that are there are just sort of placeholders. Okay. They're not Mark's covers, so I haven't seen it.
That is outstanding.
The main artist you said again, I'm sorry, was...
Jesus Saez, who's...
Did he do the Spectre?
Checkmate. He's been...
Okay.
And then...
he did the OMAC project, too.
And I think they just announced that he's doing... something big.
He's doing Brave and the Bold with JMS.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That sounds awesome.
Wow. Well, Mark,
I'm just a font of knowledge about
you are. You're encyclopedic.
And if I can plug one
plug,
other thing,
go.
Is, it's free. So, I'm also doing some more comics for Heroes, web comics for the Heroes TV show, starting in. I think that should also be up in a couple weeks. It'll be on, you know, whatever, NBC.com.
Nice. More hardcovers coming out of that, hopefully?
I hope so, because I had done a story a year ago that didn't make the cut. It was, like, just after whenever they stopped for the last one. So I think it's done well enough. I'd be surprised if they don't. But it's cool, because I got to create completely new characters. It's like I got to be part of sort of... the writer's room for it, which was an interesting experience, and everybody's really cool there, by the way. And
Jeff Loeb give you the what for on that one?
The what?
Did Jeff Loeb give you the what for on how to do that? Was he a part of it? Jeff
wasn't part of it. It was mainly Chuck Kim, who is a former DC editor and now is a writer on the show. And he runs the comic stuff. And but it was really cool to just, because we all got to brainstorm on each other's stories in addition to, you know, in addition to just being off and working on your own. And, you know, writing is such a solitary profession. It was nice to sort of get a glimpse into that world and to, you know, to be with, you know, really, really smart writers. Who are, like, good ideas.
Awesome. It's so cool to see, you know, I mean, you're one of the... Everybody in this industry seems to just be nice. We say that all the time. Just the quality of people that are in this, but it's really exciting when a guy like yourself is able to work on projects like this that you can really sink your teeth into and just get really enthusiastic about it. So that's congratulations.
Well, thank you. And yeah, I'm continually find the same thing, which I just keep finding how nice people are in this business. And it's such a small business. It's like, it's good that they are. I mean, it's really... I think the internet, you can get a bad impression sometimes, and think, you know, you hear stories about certain creators being ornery, and they're really, I think they're the exception, and probably half the time you're just catching somebody at a bad time at a con. But
everybody has a bad day, you know.
I'm just amazed at how nice, like, people, you know, like people that I've respected. It's so nice when they're not, you know, when it's nice when they like your work, and that's nothing more flattering than that. But it's even nicer when they're just like nice people and they like talk, you know, and they're just happy to talk to you. I mean, you know, there's no pretense, and so it's great.
It is. All right. Well, hey, best of luck. Keep us updated on stuff. You know, you're always welcome to talk with us, and cannot wait for the Two-Face story. And check out Cyborg. If you haven't read Hazed yet, go to your local comic shop or bookstore. It's out from Image Comics. And
bring him money if you love them all. Just give him just cash.
Dump it. Basically, I enjoy the cash. No, I'm happy if it shows up. I'm actually happier if people buy them in stores and it shows up and from retailers and it shows up on the site and helps retailers out. It's been really good to me. But thank you guys for having me at any time.
Anytime. And my wife really did enjoy Hayes.
Oh yeah, I wanna have I thought we were gonna have like a rematch.
Yes. We'll have to call you at the. I'll have to bring her into the shop and you guys can verbally joust again. She enjoyed that.
I enjoyed this as well.
All right, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have a great rest of your con.
We need handshake sound effect.
Yeah, we do need that.
The buzzer handshake. All right, and there you have it. That wraps up all of our Emerald City Comic Con coverage. Hopefully we're able to go out to the Emerald City again next year. Once again, great show. If you have a chance, check it out for sure. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we'll be back with more regular programming next week. Actually, Sal sat in with us again, so it was the reunion tour continuing. So tune in on Monday for that as we get back to Chicago and Dark Tower Comics. Also, if you have a chance, drop by the iTunes Music Store. Everybody knows how much I love those iTunes Music reviews, and I certainly would appreciate it. And it really does help the show. So it's a great way to show your support if you're a listener of the show. Well, once again, I hope you enjoyed all of the coverage from Emerald City Comic Con. We've got Wizard World coming up here in a little under 6 weeks. So if you're going to be in the Chicago area and planning on attending Wizard World Chicago, let us know. Drop by the forum, and I'm sure we'll have a thread up pretty soon, seeing who's going to be in the city of Broad Shoulders. So. All right, folks, we're going to wrap this one up. We'll be back again on Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime, in between time, we'll be everywhere in and around comics. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2008.